Hey everyone, this is Adam Ellenboss from Nightlight Astrology, and today we're going to take a look at this Friday's full moon in Aries, and we're going to use it as a preview for the eclipses that are coming across the Libra-Aries axis for like the next year and a half. So this full moon hits a little different. All full moons are important moments of flowering or harvesting or manifestation from the time of the seeding of the new moon up to the full moon. Things are sort of developing. So the full moons can be kind of big moments where the fruit of the cycle starts to really show itself. But when the full moon is happening just before our first eclipse across the Libra Aries axis, the full moon is really giving us a preview of the tensions that will be present going into all of the eclipses to come. So it's a really good moon to be refreshing ourselves on in terms of the house locations of Aries and Libra in the birth chart and what kinds of tensions might come up. So that's what we're going to do today. They're almost like horoscopes. Anyway, before we get into it, as always, don't forget to like and subscribe. When you guys share your comments and reflections, that also really helps the channel to grow. And you can find a transcript of any of my daily talks on the website, nightlightastrology.com. I want to take you over there right now, because as you guys know, we are in enrollment season. And on November 18th, the new class, Ancient Astrology for the Modern Mystic, begins. It is my first year program, so it's the best place to dive into studying at Nightlight. You can click on the courses tab, scroll down, hit first year course, and you'll see we start November 18th. This is a full year immersion into ancient Hellenistic astrology, which should prepare you to read charts for other people if you want to practice astrology for other people, or it is a course that's also designed for people who just want to take their love practice of astrology to a much deeper level. And so you can learn more about the program on the page, hear what some of the alumni have had to say about it. I think the best feature of the program is the fact that it is a very comprehensive, deep exploration of why everything in astrology works the way that it does. It's not just these are the meanings of the houses, signs, planets, combine them in aspects, and here's how to read a chart. It's what is a house? What is a sign? Why did any of this come to be in the first place? And when you have that kind of foundational understanding, the philosophical and conceptual framework of ancient astrology, you will have a kind of skeleton key with which to really take your interpretive abilities to an entirely different level. It is really profound how appreciative students are through this program when it comes to, for the level of depth that we get into with respect to the foundations of the craft. I think that's the number one thing people enjoy. As the program goes on, I lead the 30 courses for the year. They're all recorded, so you don't have to be there live. You can attend live if you want to. They're all recorded for you. We also have breakout study sessions with tutors and a forum discussion that's staffed with tutors. So lots of help, lots of outside of class material, as much as you want. So you can go as deeply as you want to, or as sort of superficially as you want to. If you want to take it, it's kind of like a fun thing to do for yourself on the side, much like I'm taking guitar lessons, but I'm not planning on being a professional. This class totally allows for that. On the other hand, if you want to go and start a practice, the course is also designed to help you get there. And there's a certification exam at the end you can take as well. At the bottom, you'll find the registration options. Be sure to check out need-based tuition. Those are now open for enrollment. They have been open for a couple of weeks now, and they're starting to fill up. We have lots available still, but make sure that you apply right away if you need a little bit of help to make the program happen. We understand that people are coming from different financial backgrounds, and we want to make sure that nobody is ever priced out of studying astrology. So if we could help you to make a dream of studying astrology come true, or make it a little bit more easier for you to take the class, please do take advantage of that. All right, well, that's it for announcements. We are going to take a look at the upcoming full moon in Aries today, and we're going to talk about why this is a full moon that is giving us a preview of things to come, namely the big eclipses coming through Libra and Aries. So let me fast forward this a little bit. Here we go. And here we are. So, let me go back just a touch. There we are. So this is the full moon happening. And you know what? Let's push it back just a touch. I want to see how close does it get to the sixth degree before it perfects. I think it might, the sun might knock right into 6 degrees. Yep. So it's going to be at 6 degrees and 0 minutes. This is early morning central time, Friday, September 29th this week. But depending on your time zone, you know, you might have kind of be feeling it Thursday night into Friday, into Saturday. Maybe that little range between Thursday and Saturday will really be sort of feeling it. Now, again, the reason that this is such an important eclipse or eclipse, full moon, is because it's happening in the signs of the eclipses. So we have a solar, our first major eclipse across the Libra-Aries axis on October 14th, a new moon solar eclipse in Libra, which we have talked about on my channel already, sort of previewing for it. But this full moon is activating, in other words, the nodal axis, and we're starting to feel the tension of what these two areas are going to be bringing up for us across the entirety of 2024. So let's take a look at how these eclipses play out. So I'm going to actually remove from view everything except for the nodes of the moon and the sun and the moon. So if we take this forward just a bit, we're going to see that, and you kind of just watch it as it wraps around the wheel. Here we go. So now we're getting into a space in 2024 where eclipses are about to form across the axis. So you can see here is a lunar eclipse right around March 25th happening in Libra. And that's the next eclipse after the October 14th eclipse in across this axis. And then we are coming around the wheel and we're going to see a solar eclipse taking place. Let's get them together. This is April 8th. There's a solar eclipse at about 19 degrees of Aries. And so those are the eclipses happening in late March and early April of 2024. And this full moon is highlighting these tensions that are now going to repeat like a wave pattern of eclipses throughout the year ahead. Anyway, let's take it forward again and we will continue. So next eclipses are going to happen in the autumn of 2024. And here you can see that we have a solar eclipse once more in Libra. So that's a solar eclipse at about 10 degrees of Libra on October 2nd. And then I think this one's going to be maybe, you know, I have to look at the actual ephemeris. I think this one's going to be a little far off. Gosh, yeah, that's right where you might fall out of the range. So anyway, but here's a full moon in Aries kind of still activating in the sort of activation zone of the eclipses. I have to look and see if technically that one on October 17th. Actually, I'll just look it up right now. Let's see. It doesn't look like it. October 2nd, but not the 17th. Yeah, so I don't think so. I don't think this one is technically going to be considered an eclipse. If someone finds information to the contrary, let me know in the comment section, but it doesn't look like it. It's pretty close because it has to be within a certain number of degrees of the nodes of the moon, and I do believe it's just outside of that range, so it's not going to even be... The further away it is to usually, in my experience, the weaker anyway. So this wouldn't be the world's most powerful eclipse, even if it was a little partial lunar eclipse. But in either way, the full moon in Aries comes back around on October 17th while it's in the sign of the nodes. And that will activate the nodes. It's not like, yeah, the full moon in the sign of the nodes, just like this full moon that we're about to go through, will activate the houses and you'll get stronger energy starting to move through those places just by virtue of the nodes being co-present. So it's not like, you know, the eclipses are obviously the most powerful, but yeah. And then after this, when we go forward a little bit more, we're going to see that the nodes of the moon are going to change signs into Virgo and Pisces by the winter of 2025. So that's the kind of outline. If you go back in time, you can see, if you want to like trace back the eclipses in Libra and Aries, you can see that this is, right around, let's see, the nodes of the moon enter Aries and Libra in flipped order, north node in Libra, south node in Aries, around the spring of 2014. And they are going to live in those signs all the way throughout the rest of 2014. And they don't change again until the summer, it looks like, maybe even the fall. So they change signs into Virgo and Pisces around October of 2015. So you get that kind of 2014 into all the way till about October of 2015 was the last time we had the nodes in Libra and Pisces. And if you go back before that to the actual flipped, or the actual return, so that we get north node in Aries as well, then you're going back to, let's see here. So they go in the same spaces that they're in now in December of 2004, and they would have been staying in Aries and Libra with north node and south node in the same positions that they're in now all the way until, looks like, about the summer of 2006. So you could look back at those periods as well after we visit the topics for today. But the point is that this full moon is going to activate the So this full moon will start to activate the energies of the eclipses, and that's our main focus for today. So here it is. Now, what we want to do is just try to highlight what happens when we have the nodes in pairs of houses. So this will be good for Aries rising, Libra rising in flipped order. So I'm going to talk about the tensions of the houses for all of the rising signs, but I'll pair them together. Okay, so to start with, when we're looking at this eclipse or this full moon, know that the full moon is starting to amplify the tensions that we will be working with throughout eclipse season this October and following throughout the eclipses of 2024 that I mentioned earlier. It could have echoes back to those previous time periods, but the tension for Aries and Libra is between the axis of self and other. Or if you watch my recent series on the houses, between the axis of Dharma and Kama. Dharma would be like, what am I bound to? What kind of character have I been asked to play in this lifetime? And how is my character development going? How am I evolving as a person? Who am I? And what kinds of duties or obligation am I working with based on, you know, the context of my birth, the way in which I was raised, etc. So the first house has a lot to do with self-development. And the seventh house, on the other hand, called Kama by Indian astrologers, has to do with pleasure. The pursuit of pleasure, specifically, you know, sexual pleasure, romantic pleasure, but anything that is about ecstasy, bliss, connection with other people. This is the house that, you know, puts the sun to sleep at night and introduces us into the more romantic nocturnal world, where generally speaking, it's about relationships and pleasure. And so questions of selfhood and questions of relationship, questions of selfhood, self-development, self-cultivation, duty and dharma versus questions of pleasure and relationality and interpersonal intimacy. These are the tensions that we're going to be working with for both Aries and Libra. Now, I don't think it's too important that you differentiate radically between the north and south node. If you're in Aries rising, the new territory may be the feeling of a new territory to explore may push you in the direction of self-development, whereas you may be working through and crystallizing or internalizing lessons and wisdom by looking at past patterns and maybe changing those patterns or reworking through some of them within the domain of relationships. Now, if you flip that, Libras will be working with, the old accumulated insights, lessons, and internalized wisdom regarding selfhood, duty, self-cultivation, body, whereas the new territory is sort of calling to be explored, so to speak, could be the area of relationships. So you could kind of parse it out that way. But remember that there's not one that's better than the other, or one that you're supposed to do and one that you're supposed to let go of, or something like that. They're both areas that are pushing and pulling in opposite directions and demanding attention. And it's also about how we hold the tension between the two. All right, so let's go to the Taurus and Scorpio axis. This will put the nodes and the eclipses across the 12th and 6th house. So for, you know, the 12th and 6th houses were respectively called evil spirit and bad fortune. It's like not too shiny and happy sounding. But generally speaking, the 12th house has to do with a blind spot that we don't see, unconscious material that is, sort of asking to be explored or trying to make its way into our conscious awareness. The extent to which we aren't able to see certain things is the extent to which certain unconscious material is probably creating problems for us. And so the 12th house can be about problematic things that we don't see, or problematic people or environments or influences or choices or behaviors or patterns that we're not as aware of that could be undermining us. On the other hand, it can also be sort of, there's a more amoral way of looking at it. It's like, it's not just moral bad stuff, destructive stuff. It's also quite literally just things that we're not aware of, or things that we're seeking to integrate or to develop, but that we're not sure how to develop or how to bring into and integrate within our sense of self. So the unconscious is not always dark shadow stuff, right? Which is one of the reasons people get freaked out by the 12th house. So, you know, quite simply, it's just stuff we don't see that's seeking expression in our lives. Maybe it's a part of us that's been, you know, exiled, that's seeking incorporation into the council of wise elders that lives in our psyche, you know, just like, hey, I want to be included. So, you know, a lot of it though is about the exploration or discovery of things that are unseen, and for good or bad. The sixth house has a lot to do, on the other hand, with the challenges and struggles that are the hard work that we're doing, the labor, the service, the sacrifice, the blood, sweat, and tears, the chop wood, carry water, the hard work that pays off, but not until you've really done a lot of work. It's the kinds of things that we feel are obstacles in front of us that are frustrating us. It's things like sickness or illness, but it's also perseverance and the courage to overcome. So, you know, when you think of these houses for Tauruses and Scorpios, you're really thinking about, you know, this is a year for Taurus and Scorpio, where the year ahead, and including this upcoming eclipse and the tension the full moon is bringing up, it's about saying, I want to get in touch with things that I can feel but don't yet understand, or I know is there, but I haven't consciously, it hasn't been consciously available to me. I want to overcome hardships. I want to persevere and grow wiser through my ability to handle adversity. And so it's like sacred adversity and sacred contact with unconscious material. Now for Tauruses, the call to something new may lie in the unconscious. I want to get in touch with Aries energy, with Mars energy, with the fire of Aries. There's something about that I seek to understand, incorporate, get in touch with, heal if it needs to be. And on the other hand, the internalized wisdom of the past may be coming to us through the kinds of adversities, hardships, sicknesses, sacrifices, obstacles that we're having to overcome. But we may say to ourselves, I've been here before, and now I can really respond in a new or different way or better way. Or we may just kind of hit our heads on the wall a few times before we are able to see a pattern in how we handle adversity and hardship and, you know, how we overcome it. On the other hand, with Scorpios, you just sort of flip it, and then you can think that the new call or the horizon that, you know, is sort of before us, the adventure that we feel like taking is in the direction of hard work, sacrifice, fighting on behalf of things you believe in. And it may be that on the other hand, there is a sense of old cycles of unconscious material coming to resolution or completion, or old patterns of avoidance with 12th house material that we have to look at. So, but they're very similar with the 12th and 6th houses, because they're both houses that present us with different kinds of challenges. And, you know, so you're going to find that the tensions of these two houses are expressing themselves. And in some ways, it doesn't even really matter that you parse out exactly, you know, because a lot of the times when people start to parse out, well, that's the big difference between it, they're trying to figure out, what am I supposed to do? Nothing. Just hold the tension of these two areas pulling in different ways. All right, let's go on to Gemini and Sagittarius. So for Gemini and Sagittarius, we have the eclipses falling across the 11th and 5th houses. The 11th was called the joy of Jupiter. The 5th was called the joy of Venus. 11th was the place of allies, beneficial people and influences, groups, ambitions, wishes and aspirations for the future, good fortune. And the 5th house was a place of pleasure, creativity and creative satisfaction, or romance and also pregnancy and children. So when you see eclipses falling across this house, there's often a way in which, okay, well, for Geminis, for example, Gemini rising, the North Node says, hey, I want to develop new friends, new allies, new groups of people. I want to change social affiliations, or I might start pursuing new ambitions and finding new help along the way. There's a sense of refining or revising your ambitions and maybe your social connections as they relate to those ambitions. And then on the other hand, the South Node Libran energy in the 5th house can call you to explore creatively. What have I learned at this point in my life about my own creative voice? And what do I need to, what kinds of creative projects are left undone or unfinished? So it's like unfinished business in the area of creativity or pleasure or joy or romance. And there's old patterns to be looked at, but also, you know, treasure to be gathered from good work that's been done in the past around creativity, children, joy, and creative fulfillment. So now you flip it for Sagittarians, you're going to see if Sag is on the ascendant, then you get the nodes flipped. So the new direction, that's kind of like drumbeat, that's like, all right, let's go here. I feel like I'm called into battle by the North Node in Aries in the 5th house, means there's something new I want to explore creatively, sexually, romantically. There's a new form of pleasure I seek to understand or experience. There's a new creative impulse that I'm following, you know. But on the other hand, the Libran energy is about the South Node Libran in the 11th will be about the accumulated wisdom around social groups, friends, you know, the different kinds of people that do or do not serve your own creative ambitions. So am I aligned in the right way socially? And do the alignments that I have socially aid me in the kinds of things that I'm trying to do with my life, the ambitions that I have, the wishes and hopes that I have? And do I have the right people around me? And there's like tests and the reaping of what's been sown and rewards for hard work done, but also encounter with old patterns that need resolving. And there's a sense of, being able to rely on past experiences to make important choices around friends, communities, social dynamics, and so forth. And that's Sagittarius will experience that with the South Node Libra in the 11th. All right, so let's go along to Cancer and Capricorn. So you put the nodes of the moon in the 10th and 4th houses, and you have for Cancers the call to explore something new will be taking place in the career house, or the house that has to do with social standing and status, public engagement and reputation, the house that calls us to participate in the world in some way that, you know, is like socially recognizable? What kind of role or duties or work or activities are we taking up? And where do we find ourselves? Like, where does that place us somehow? In what world does that place us within the larger society in which we live? Now, the south node of the moon in Libra in the fourth house will be about, you know, kind of the wisdom accumulated through time and experience in the house of home, family, parents, ancestral karma, living environment. There's old things being resolved there. But there's also, you know, rewards for hard work done and the harvesting of all of the transformation that you've done in this area. So there's a cycle of some kind that's coming to a close, and you're there to use the wisdom of the past to bring about the best kinds of things in the house of home and family. But it's also time to put a ribbon around certain patterns or lessons that, you know, you have to somehow finish or work through one last time or in a new way. Flip that for Capricorns, and you get this call to do new things or explore or expand, pioneer in new directions with respect to where you're living or building a family, or there'll be new developments around home, family, and ancestry, your roots, the desire to explore the mysteries or to explore the desire to break from the world somehow, to retreat into rest or home, or to connect with something that sort of frees you from the world. These are deeper, but fourth house is a place of rest, flow, ease, disconnection from the world. But, you know, for a lot of people that will manifest in terms of family and home specifically. Either way, though, the Capricorns are going to have that energy calling. Let's do this. This is something new I want to try. Whereas there's a season of reaping what's been sown and harvesting good and bad karma in the house of career, occupation, and worldly involvement. Old lessons that bring, you know, the old lessons that sort of bring final bosses. You know, you have to face testing and show that the pattern has changed somehow. And then there's also the kind of the wisdom of what you've learned that could lead to something like a promotion or a change of title or job. It could sometimes also be a time in which you hit dead ends and you have to sort of face the music around the topics of career or worldly occupation and activities, reputation, things like that. So interesting to see the tensions of these houses playing out. Let's go to Leo and Aquarius. This places the nodes of the moon in houses 3 and 9, or across the 3rd and 9th house axis in general for Leo and Aquarius. Will it be flipped in either way, either in on either side? So north node eclipses in the 9th house will, for Leos, call you in the direction of learning, travel, religion and spirituality, and the cultivation or development of new things, new endeavors, new patterns, exploration. It was specifically around your beliefs or your worldview or the subject of learning and the higher mind, the maybe exploration of foreign places or long journeys, pilgrimage, travel. And there's this kind of call to adventure and expand the mind. And there's a kind of fierceness, a bit of the, you know, the warrior archetype at play in the 9th house as well, which might be like advocating or even fighting for things that you believe in, or this kind of power struggles and the relation between power, conflict, and the higher mind or beliefs. Those are topics that are going to become really important. Whereas the south node in Libra in the 3rd house suggests the equanimity of the mind and peace and balance and flow and harmony in the environment around you. And how do you keep that? You know, how the wisdom of the past that will say, it's important that I keep a balanced, level head, that the environment around me be a place of peace and tranquility, of justice and fairness, balance and beauty. There's old lessons to be learned about keeping the peace, or about maybe being overly compromising or diplomatic when you need to be more assertive. And the balance between a peaceful mind and an energetic, engaged mind that's willing to fight for what it believes, how do you balance those two things? Those are big questions for both Leos and Aquarians. It's flipped, of course, if you have Aquarius on the ascendant, where you'll have the Libran energy in the ninth house, which may have to do with old patterns, old lessons, and either running up against a wall when it comes to those old patterns around beliefs and religion and the higher mind, or establishing new ones, or hard work that you've done is now bringing some amazing results. South Node ninth house often coincides with people finishing graduate school or going back to school to, you know, face your fears of intellectual, you know, like inadequacy. Like, I'm not very smart. Well, you South Node eclipses might send you back to school and have you proving to yourself that you are smart, you know, something like that. But it's also just in general, it's about facing old patterns, seeing what work you've done, receiving rewards for the hard work you've done, and also, you know, letting go of old patterns that no longer serve. So it's a time of internalizing wisdom from the past, receiving the gifts from the past, and also the past coming back up for review around beliefs, religion, and the higher mind, higher learning, religion, etc. And then the third house, Aries, for Aquarians, is very much about the potential for the immediate environment to be lit on fire with a kind of passionate, heated, intense quality of Mars. So that the mind is, you know, willing to take risks or to, it's almost like, there's a kind of Libran sensibility to Aquarians when it comes to their beliefs. The communication is the everyday communication in the world around you needs to be passionate and intense and fiery as well. So the need to develop more exciting dynamics in mind, environment, speech, everything that you're doing in the everyday sense needs to grip and engage and light you up inside. And there's going to be more of a call to develop that as opposed to just being sort of totally cool and objective and detached. It's like, no, fire up. So, but at the same time, the Libran South Node will pull you always back in the direction of equanimity and being a little bit more even keeled if you need to be. So again, these tensions across the axis, third and ninth, really have a lot to do with the mind and beliefs and the way we perceive and communicate. So these are things that Leos and Aquarians will be working with. And then finally, we have Virgos and Pisces. So for Virgo and Pisces, the nodes of the moon and the eclipses will fall across 2 and 8. And this full moon is highlighting that. So you have with the second house, Libra and South Node, there's like all of the accumulated wisdom, the rewards for hard work done that have to do with money, time, resources, energy, skill development, skill acquisition, what you have, what you're trying to cultivate. And there's a lot there that says, look at what you've cultivated. Look at what it's gotten you. If you've been avoiding cultivating your resources internally or externally, this will be a time of like, you know, coming up against a wall and being like, I can't just keep doing the same old thing and expect a different result. So there's, you know, it can be a little bit of both as well. Throughout the eclipse cycles, you may notice that you're reaping what's been sown in terms of very, you know, like beneficial things around money, around business, around work, around what you have or what you're in possession of. And a lot of things you'll see, you'll come into possession of things, or you'll feel like, you know, the time and energy that you've put in is paying off somehow. And then for other people, it'll be this, like this wake up call, like you need to cultivate this, or you've avoided this, or you've maybe even been lazy in certain ways, or this needs developing. And you'll feel like this isn't something I can avoid any longer. On the other hand, the North Node in the eighth with Aries, the kind of, again, I think of it as like a drumbeat that's calling us into a new space, a new set of experiences. In the eighth house, that has a lot to do with, exploring what other people have to give us, or how other people inspire us or bless us, or how we can partner with other people, as well as what we need or what we don't need from other people. Can I do this alone, or do I need help? Am I too proud to ask for help? Can someone join me, and can we do some kind of passionate, can we join our passions together for the sake of some larger enterprise or some bigger goals? So the question of you know, independence and dependence around resources, time, energy, and money is the tension being explored for Virgos and Pisces as the Libra Aries axis falls across the second and eighth. Now, for Pisces, you flip it. The new territory that's calling is with the North Node in the second house. And it says, hey, develop something of your own, start a business, develop a new skill, buy things, come into possession of things. Look at what you have and look at the conflicts surrounding what you have or the passion that's driving you or maybe the lack of passion and cultivate it. So it's like grow something, get after it. That's the kind of energy for Pisceans that they'll have in their second house. Whereas they'll have the Libran energy with the South Node in the eighth. How have I been overly diplomatic? How have I relied too heavily on other people? What kinds of soul contracts have gotten me entangled? And is it time to let go of them? Or what kind of fruiting or harvesting of positive relationships and alliances that I've built over time through careful diplomatic sensibilities are now yielding results and giving me the fruits of that sort of relational work that I've done. So it can go in either direction. But it's, again, the tension between what is mine, what is ours, what is shared, what is mine alone. These are the kinds of tensions coming up for Virgos and Pisces in general. Well, anyway, I thought this would be a good use of our time. You can see, by the way, Hilda, the rescue dog, she's back there. I don't want to like swing my camera too dramatically. Let's see if I can just kind of, you can kind of, wait, go this way. There she is. Hi, Hilda. She is sweet as can be. And I thought it was really interesting because I'm a Taurus rising. So the nodes of the moon fall across my 12th and 6th right now. And as soon as the south node of the moon went into my 6th house, I started thinking very seriously about, you know, like rescuing another dog. The other dog we have is a rescue. And I just thought, well, maybe we should rescue another animal. Of course, Ashley loves, she's big into rescuing dogs. If you're going to have a dog, she's like, let's make sure it's a rescue. But at any rate, what's funny about that is that there's that, just that signature of looking at old patterns. And, as soon as the South Node entered my 6th house, I started going through all of the history around my relationship with animals. It's just an interesting thing to come up. And then as Mars entered the 6th house, I got sort of like a little bit of an advocate vibe. Like, I think this is important. And so anyway, funny, the 6th house, you know, is a connection to animals in the 6th house traditionally. So anyway, that's just my little story. I would love to hear your stories. So if you have a story to share, please use the hashtag grabbed. Tell us the name of the transit, share your story, or email us your story, grabbed@nightlightastrology.com. Hopefully we'll have some good eclipse stories to share. Hope you guys are having a good day and that this was a fun refresher on the house topics that you'll be seeing amplified as this full moon in Aries comes through. It'll start to amplify it this Friday and over the weekend, but then it's previewing where all of those eclipses are taking us over the next year. So hopefully this contributes to each of us just feeling a little bit more ready for it. All right, that's what I've got today. Take it easy, everyone. Bye.